Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Will.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We have a great guest today.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. This is a man I've known for many, many years, and he is truly one of the best in the business. Not just voiceover, but on camera as well.
And a human being. Yeah, he's a really great guy.
Talk about inspirational. Wait till you hear this one, everybody. He is an amazing person, an incredible actor, and just so inspirational. We can't wait to hear from him. Who's joining us today, Christy?
Guys, it's Dietrich Bader.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay, yeah. I'm okay. Hey, Christy.
I'm okay.
Hi.
I'm okay.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's totally my pleasure.
We are going to be, I don't know if you know anything about our podcast, but we just talk about different ice cream flavors for an hour.
That
it's
sounds
awesome.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I signed on.
I'm glad you came on, too. Yeah. Dietrich Bader, thank you so much for joining us on I Hear Voices. We have
apparently,
you here.
You guys are very good friends. I did not know that, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
I know you know everybody well.
I didn't
well.
Do any research. I just said anything for Will. Now I realize I'm going to talk about ice cream for an hour.
This is not the thing to do.
No, I should have done a little bit of research.
Sure.
A little bit of research.
A tiny bit of research
just
would have been good.
Just the littlest bit.
Oh,
wait, so
my.
How do you guys know each other? Seriously, I didn't know.
I was trying to think about that. Dietrich, can you remember the first show we did together? Because I actually remember the exact episode.
It was the Zeta Project, if I remember correctly.
It was. Well, it was the Batman Beyond episode
that's
of the Zeta Project.
Yeah, that set up. It was like a backdoor pilot for the Zeta Project, and Will was that was the last season of the of your show, right?
Yeah. 1999.
What is a backdoor pilot for people that may not know?
Oh yeah,
including myself.
Sure. That's when you introduce characters that are going to be in a series that has already been picked up. So they already know that it's going. They just want to do an established show like Will's show and say, well, here's this other character. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing if he had his own show? And then they're like, wait a minute, he does.
How convenient.
What are the chances of
That's
that happening?
That's incredible.
Now, how, obviously people, and we're going to get into this because that's the other thing you probably should have done some research about. It's an 11-hour show. So we're here all day.
Yeah.
We're in for the long
Great.
Haul. You got the whole, the thing about bringing water and an
sure.
IV.
We're
going to get into your on-camera stuff, which again is nice, is obviously extensive. But by that episode where I met you, had you been doing a lot of VO by that point?
No, I was pretty new to the world. I started with just a guest star spot. Jamie Thomason brought me in for Gargoyles. And I had done some things. Yeah, he's great. He really started my career. But I had done some things, and I did some guest star spots for Andrea Romano, who did both series of the series that Will was just talking about in Zeta Project. And then she brought me in to audition for the Zeta Project, and that was the first time I was a regular on anything, and I was the lead, and it was very, very different for me. And you know, it was really fascinating being a regular on an animated show. I mean, because it's like, first of all, the way Andrea records like a radio play was like a dream, because it just
Siegfried. Shut up.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Is Roy there to calm him down?
He's actually named after the Get Smart character.
Oh, is that the best? Yeah. Missed it by that much.
Siegfried.
So anyway,
my cat's name is Jumanji.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that was really a fascinating process, and something I really truly loved. I would record it on Wednesday mornings. We did the Drew Carey Show. I was then on a show called the Drew Carey Show that we shot on Tuesday nights, and then I would come in Wednesday morning and do this show, and then I would go to the read through of the Drew Carey Show. So it was like a dream. Although I will say, I don't think I did a single Zeta Project without a hangover.
Why? Nice. So, needless to say, we won't be talking about specific episodes.
Yeah, it's all kind of a blur. Yeah. I'd be like,
it was. That's the way it was. It was because when we did Batman Beyond, we did it Thursday morning, and I would go right from recording that episode to then we recorded our show. We taped Boy Meets World Thursday night.
Thursday night. Okay.
So it was. Yeah. So the story I always tell, which is absolutely true, which is one of the worst days of my career, was the last episode of Batman Beyond recorded Thursday morning, and then I drove to the last taping of Boy Meets World that Thursday night. They ended on the same day. It was that was a tough Thursday. That was one of the tougher Thursdays.
That really
was
is
Dietrich there? In the industry. Did you see Dietrich that day? Do you
and
remember?
I slapped him in the hallway.
Dietrich was
he did. He slapped me and he went, "Nice career, jerk."
It's over.
And then he just walked away backhanding me.
Yeah.
So from an acting standpoint, exactly. Well, one of them. Every day being friends with Dietrich since has been a tie. From an acting standpoint, do you approach a voiceover character any differently than you'd approach an on-camera character?
That's a great question. So I don't think you necessarily approach the character a different way, but you approach the way that you do it in a different way. There's just different levels of volume depending on what format you're in. So if you're on stage, it's pretty big because you got an audience that can't really make out the micro signals that you send, so you kind of have to build everything bigger. Then there's like a television, where the camera's pretty close, but it's still not movie screen, like you're enormous on the screen, and you really should do very little. But voiceover is like, you got to turn things up to 11. You got to be much bigger than you think. You can't just think the proper thoughts. You have to really like project. There's an old acting term like indicate, which is basically just indicating what you're thinking. And usually that's verboten, but in voiceover, you kind of have to indicate a little bit. Otherwise, like I've worked with so many, and you have too, work with so many. They bring in on-camera actors a lot into the voiceover world, kind of for the novelty of it, for one thing, I think. And the other reason is because they've got like some heat at that moment or whatever, or maybe the casting director is just interested in meeting them. I don't know. But anyway, they tend to be super flat because they're used to a camera sticking in their face. So they're thinking all the right thoughts. They're just not using their voice as the primary instrument. And they'll often, I'm sure you've noticed this too, they'll like, when they do a scene together, they'll look at you. So they'll go off, they'll go off microphone.
Yeah.
And so
I did that at the start. I did that when I started my career. I was like, hey, Kevin Conroy, how you doing? Yeah. No, that's not right. That's not right.
Yeah. Let's do this scene together.
That's not how it works. Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, got it into the microphone.
Microphone. No, it happened all the time.
Kevin had a background in Shakespeare. We interviewed him on one of our first episodes, and it's funny how you say about the proscenium and sort of the medium of which, whether, you know, it's something like sitcom with Drew Carey and how you're projecting for that type of comedy or whatnot. And then, wow, it really is a wonderful point that you make there, Dietrich.
Yeah, Kevin was the first graduate from Juilliard. You know, he was in the first year of Juilliard, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't know if that's real, if I'm honest.
It may be made that up.
I don't know. You know, the more time I spend with Kevin, the more I think he's just making stuff up.
If there are too many good stories.
I'm not sure he was even Batman, if I'm honest. I'm not sure he was even Batman.
Yeah.
The first time you ever star in a series, you and I have very similar origin stories, which we want to get to your origin story eventually, but where the first series you're doing, you're thrown in and you are instantly working with Andrea Romano and some of the best in the business.
Yeah.
Did you know that going in, kind of the team you were being thrown into, or no?
No, I don't think I did. And I also, because I was new to the world, I didn't understand just how incredibly talented people in the voiceover world are. Because on-camera actors, I'm just going to be completely honest. Some of them you're not entirely sure.
Please.
So, do it.
Yeah. Some of them you're not entirely sure why they're there. You know, you work with them and you're like, okay, that's apparently how you're going to do that. I guess we're going to have to...
interesting choice. Yeah, let's work around that.
This is what you got. All right. Yeah. So when it comes to my coverage, I'm going to pretend that you're amazing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because you have to. You have to cover your own butt. You can't, like, pretend that a scene... Yeah. You can't say, like... Nobody talks that way, or you can't. Yeah. You just have to create. You're given what you're given, and you have to just go. But in the voiceover world, to watch somebody like, you know, our good friend John DiMaggio make three different voices right in front of you is like, you know, somebody doing a sleight of hand where they just go and like that, and they do it, and you you've watched it happen. It happened right in front of you, but you still don't know how it happened. You're like, that's a totally different person, and that just happened right in front of me. Like working with Dee Bradley Baker or Frank Welker or somebody that can create like sounds.
Fred Tatasciore, somebody like that, yeah.
Right, those three particularly that can make sounds that humans shouldn't be able to make. And we just, we accept them because, you know, like Frank, for example, Jurassic Park, like we just assume, oh, that's how dinosaurs sound. It's like, we don't know how dinosaurs sound, everybody.
You know, the irony is if you walk around 65 million years ago, they just sound like Frank Welker, but when he's talking normally.
Yeah, when he's like, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, hey, how's everybody doing? So you're a T-Rex, huh?
Yeah.
Rawr. Yeah. That's the fun part about it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that the magician analogy is very interesting to me because when you talk to a magician about, hey, how did you do that? They can walk you through the mechanics. Some of the voiceover actors can't. How do you do that? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just Eric Bauza, and you're not, is kind of the answer. And it's like, it's just a talent that comes from nowhere. But it's also why our, you know, it's growing, thankfully, but why our pool is so small.
It is very small.
It's like, you walk into the room, and you're going to know everyone in the room.
I know. It's one of the things I love, actually.
And it's because... I do too. But I'm glad that it's getting to be, obviously, and you and I have talked about this, and that it's getting to be more diversified and there's getting to be more people represented. That's all really good. But what is not being sacrificed at all is the quality of the talent.
Oh, yeah. No, that all we can do is benefit from a widening talent pool. That's absolutely for sure. And one thing that I'm really happy about is that white people are no longer doing people of color. Which I always had a problem with.
Yeah.
I remember on one show I did, I was a regular on the show, but they wanted me to do another voice, and it was of an Inuit. Now, it's like there probably aren't that many Inuit actors, but there are a lot of Asian actors that could have been brought in to do that. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable with this. And they were like, can you just do it this one time? Maybe it's just a scratch track. And I'm like, That's not going to happen. It's not. The scratch track doesn't exist. Interesting. I'm going to record this, and then you're going to use that, is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they were like, please. And I was like, and I gave in. I'll be honest with you. I totally gave in.
We all do. We all did. You know what? And it's one of those things where a lot of people don't know that when you walk into a booth, what they'll do is they'll hire you sometimes to do three voices. And you don't necessarily know what those voices are going to be when you get in there.
They don't tell you.
And they want you to sound different. So it's like, all right, now you're the mayor. Do it with an Indian accent. And you go, okay. And you throw on some horrible Indian accent. And then you walk out going, well, I did my three voices. And it's not till recently when we've been going, wait, that wasn't okay.
Yeah, that's not all right.
Like, that's not all right.
Yeah, that's not okay.
No, and it's you know, we always talk about you know, we always talk about how, and it's one of the things, one of several things we're trying to do with this show, where we'd like to eventually get the word out there that these big, huge on-camera actors that you're talking about that are brought in to do some of these voiceovers, and they're brought in to do huge projects, these big Pixar, big Disney, big incredible, they should absolutely do them because they're a ton of fun. Every actor should be able to experience them. They're wonderful. But they should go in saying 50% of the cast needs to be regular voiceover actors.
Oh, please.
I'm
I
want to make sure that 50% of the cast are hardworking journey people voiceover actors. So hopefully we're trying to get that word out.
But Dietrich, how actually like possible is that? Like how many A-listers are actually going to say, oh, I'm not going to be, you know, Pixar's new massive fan? Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be the massive fish or whatever it is. Like, but like, how many of them would actually stand up, do you think? Like, how do you make that normalized as a movement?
I think it's a great idea, Will. I totally appreciate it, but I don't see anybody doing that. I mean, you know.
No, I don't either.
Having known.
How do we do that?
Having known A-list actors, they are. They live in a rarefied world. You know, it's like they, I always compare fame to, oh my God, what am I saying? Othello. Okay. So Othello takes place on an island, right? And it only works because there's nobody is coming and going. Yeah. Nobody says to Othello, hey dude, you know, this man is awesome. Nothing's happening there.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody coming in. So fame is like that. You know, they're on this island, and as good a person as they may be, they have been completely isolated for many, many years. They simply don't know how the rest of the thing works.
Yeah.
And
wow.
We were just talking about how Andrea Romano reads everything like a radio play. Well, the opposite happens in movies. You go in by yourself, and you don't know anybody, and you don't know who else. Yeah. Isn't the rest of the cast? You know, you just go in. I mean, I remember doing Surf's Up, and, like, I think we had been recording and gone into, like, maybe the fifth session, which was probably the sixth month of recording, before I knew that Jeff Bridges was the star.
I'd seen it twice before I realized.
Yeah, and I was like, I love Jeff Bridges. Was he just in here? And I was like smelling the studio. I get that Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
That's how close I am to Jeff Bridges right now.
Yeah. When we were doing with Lisa Schaefer, when we were doing Kim Possible, it was towards the end of the I'm not sure I ever even told you this, but it was towards the end of our recording series. And
exclusive.
I walked outside and there was Brad Pitt standing outside.
You have. Yes.
And I was like, I'm gonna go talk to Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd
so I, you know, it, well, first of all, he at the time, I don't know if it's different, but he's razor thin, which people don't. It's like you see somebody on screen and they look like they're jacked. He looked like he was 120 pounds soaking wet, and he's like 6'4", so he looked like a string bean.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I'm like, what are you doing here? And he was doing the Pirate Treasure movie, whatever it was. He was recording for the lead.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Whatever it was. And I said, how long are you recording? He's like, I don't know, 5-6 days. And you could tell it was just him in a booth.
Yeah.
That was it. He was recording his parts. He was coming in when he needed to come in, and he was taking off. So there's almost a disconnection from doing voiceover that you don't get when you're on film.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like here are the lines, just read it. So I guess I would tailor Christie's question then to ask, how do we stop that disconnect so that the A-list actors realize that there are other actors involved in the project you're doing, and those actors need to also be kind of heralded?
Yeah, no, I honestly don't know. I've thought about this
either.
A lot because,
yeah.
You know,
it's
like his ex-wife, Angelina Jolie, for example. I mean, this is not to pick on her, but, you know, she's in Kung Fu Panda. And they paid her a tremendous amount of money. And then Kari did her voice in the series.
I voice matched Angelina Jolie for Kung Fu Panda.
What? You did?
For the video game.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
For the video game, really? There
for
you go.
Video game,
did it, and
yeah.
Then, and then also Kari in the series. And it's like, so hell if I could tell the difference.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know who can? Bank of America.
Yeah, no, exactly. She got like $5 million. And again, this is not to pick on her. Her agent got her the most money that they could. This is how the business works.
That's their job. That's their job.
But the kid that watches the movie, the series, and the video game, Christy, has absolutely no idea. No idea. Yeah. No interest in seeing an Angelina Jolie movie. I mean, like, my 5-year-old son wasn't like, oh, Angelina Jolie movie's in that. I'm going to have to watch that. You know, it's not, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Because like, you have an on-camera actor and you want to see them on camera. Angelina Jolie looks like Angelina Jolie. That's part of the reason that we want to see her. I will say, though, that there are some stars that, like Jack Black, for example, in Kung Fu Panda. I mean, that's an incredible, incredible performance.
Yeah. Now, Mike Myers in Shrek.
Yeah. Nick did a great job with the series. Shrek. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But the template that was created was really great. Jack was great in that.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. So I have no problem with using movie stars if they're like, for example, let's say Chris Rock in, what's his face? The one in the
Madagascar.
Zoo. Madagascar. That's great casting. He's great in it. He's really, really funny and vulnerable. And you know, it totally works. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the cast... I mean, you know, like Sacha Baron Cohen. Did he do a better job than Danny Jacobs? No.
Yeah. No, I know. I do that. I will do that, too, because we know so many talented people. I will watch a movie and be like, John DiMaggio would have been funnier there.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, I never knew that you felt that way.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
That's interesting. I could see the problem. But I will tell you this, guys. Let me just chime in. I feel like celebrity, especially in the day and age of social media, as there are many negative things that come with social media, I think that fame and the classic Hollywood icon and all that goes with that is diminishing, as we've seen. Like, Tom Cruise is one of the last, you know, big male
movie stars.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that there's a proliferation of opportunity that is animated, motion capture. I feel like there's such a wide array of opportunities. That's why I think I Hear Voices is presenting this as an opportunity for people to get involved, invested, because they already have the talent and they just happen to live in the middle of nowhere and are
huge
fans.
Well, that's a great segue, because I think Dietrich might not know about this, but we are brushing upon it very quickly just while we get our ducks in a row. But, you know, Dietrich, we are with iHeart now, and we have officially announced the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
Oh, nice.
And so what it is some amateur actor is going to get an opportunity to sign with a major voiceover agent for a year.
So cool.
They are going to be flown out to LA to meet their agent and do all that kind of stuff. So we're going to make careers come true.
What a fun idea.
Yes, the super awesome contest.
That.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'd love to have you involved further. And we will get more into that. We are hoping it's going to be around the Halloween area where Halloween time where we will be launching. But it's a fun contest, and somebody's going to get the opportunity to have the door cracked open just that much. And then you're going to have to kick it down the rest of the way yourself.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to show up and have talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To get back to what you were talking about, yep. I have a question because I haven't been able to pinpoint it. But you're 1,000% right. When I was growing up watching animation, which was my true love growing up as a kid, I never once grew up going, ooh, I wonder who that voice is. Ooh, who is that? Ooh, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, did it sound? And so it didn't matter that it was Will Smith in something. It didn't matter that they got Robert De Niro to do something. When do you think that changed? Because I have kind of an idea in my head where it went a different route, but when do you think it became about the celebrity coming in as opposed to just the voiceover actor?
That's a good point.
Oh, I think you can pinpoint it pretty easily by Jeffrey Katzenberg. He has a thought that stars aren't just stars because of luck. They are stars because of talent, and that he is casting talent, and that they are worth the price because you're getting somebody really truly exceptional, and that they stand out for a reason. I disagree.
Me too.
I think that a lot of it is like just sheer luck. And
sure it is.
People just get cast. I mean, you know, if we're all cast in the same role, then maybe, yeah, you would be able to stand out and then, you know, you're amazing. But sometimes, you know, you just fall in because like, let's say, for example, Grand Budapest Hotel. Up until 2 weeks before shooting, Johnny Depp was supposed to be the maitre d', the concierge. That would have been an entirely different movie. I don't know if I would have liked it, frankly. And
exactly.
So Ralph Fiennes dropped in 2 weeks. That's a lot of lines to learn in 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just tell you. You have to put a whole character together in a pretty short amount of time. But it would have been a very different movie. So these things just happen. So, you know, let's say you're cast in a movie and you're great in it, but then the movie doesn't make any money. Then what happens then? Well, people don't care in the business. You get like people that really love the movie. And so that's really super cool. I mean, that's great. It really is great. But in far as your career is concerned, it means nothing. And that's the hard, cold truth of it. You know, it just doesn't matter. People are going, oh, you were so good in that. But it bombed. So success
exactly.
only breeds success. And because a motion picture is such a large thing, it's so much bigger than any, I mean, the actor, come on. The script has been there for, sometimes they're developed for 15 years. So it could have been, it didn't happen overnight. And then they pre-production, then they get the director, then they get the studio, then they get the rest of the cast, then the DP, then the rest of the crew, then you're there for this incredibly short period of time, sometimes just days. And then and then they edit it, and then they market it, and then it has to be released at a time that isn't too competitive with something else that's on the same strap. You know, you can't release two kids' movies on the same weekend, dudes, because it's not going to work, right? So you want to make sure that, so they have to book like sometimes 9 a year in advance, like figuring out where what weekend will work for that. Now, of course, the business has really radically changed since the pandemic, but all of these things factor into your personal success. Even though you've worked on the project, maybe 10 days.
Right.
Maybe
right.
10 days. So
wow.
It's that's it. And then you're either made or you're not made. And those 10 days are the biggest days of your life, or they're not. And
yeah, that's kind of the difference between your career and my career, is that I've never been in a good movie.
Oh, stop it.
No, I take that back.
Iconic.
I've never been in a successful movie. I guess my date with a TV movie, but like most of my movies are movies that nobody but maybe my mom, and not even that all the time, has seen.
Right.
So you have a very unique perspective because you've been in some blockbusters. I mean, Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite,
and
really.
Reno 911s. Yeah. I mean, some big movies.
Yeah.
So you've kind of gotten to see both sides of that argument, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
But that it's amazing that you said Katzenberg, because to me, I can kind of pinpoint the shift to the first Toy Story.
Yeah, right, right.
Because, you know, you've got only Tom, and it's not just because of Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, who are great,
They are great. Yeah.
But it's because people for the first time got to sit in the theater and go, oh, the pig, that's John Ratzenberger. Oh, he's from Cheers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it was like, okay, yeah.
The parents got to do that.
Who can we
Don
get
Rickles.
Now who's a name that, Don
Rickles.
Yeah,
that's good. I love that.
There you go.
You know, so
there
then it's go. All of a sudden you're sitting there going, oh, even the person who only had 30 lines or 20 lines in the entire thing, now we've got to get this person who's got, you know, people know they're a name, we're getting Dave Foley, we're getting this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the person who would have done that, who was an awesome voiceover actor, who it didn't matter what their name was.
Yeah.
That person that's like, you now you're not even gonna get a shot anymore. Now we need to go get somebody with a name to even do the smaller roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even have that. Most of the time they look for name talent when they do certain auditions. Looking for name talent.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, and they put it right there.
Which people don't know.
Really obvious.
Yeah, it's right on that.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, because that's the other thing that people don't or we haven't really talked about a whole lot on our show is the fact that
no, not really. This is a new kind of conversation.
Yeah, we're going we're taking it real today on I Hear Voices, people. The other thing that we talk about is the fact that it doesn't matter usually how big a voiceover actor you are, you're still auditioning for everything.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, occasionally somebody will come and make you an offer, hey, come in and do a couple lines of my thing, or hey, we got... But you're still reading all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you become a big on-camera actor, and it's offer, 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 offer.
Yes.
Voiceover, it's still, I've got 20 auditions I got to do today. It doesn't matter that I'm Batman.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that people don't recognize, is that I audition way more than I work. I audition almost constantly. I've got 3 I have to do today. That's one of the reasons I'm happy I set up this microphone. I will not be outside when I do it, but
I could just see you like, and Gotham, the people you have to, Siegfried!
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Good callback.
Yeah, well done. It's like I audition all the time, and you just keep going at it, and it's a strange world, but I love it. I love the voiceover world so much. It's like crazy. I so enjoy being around the talent. I think one of the things that I really miss about the before times is the studio sessions. Where I got to, because Disney didn't do this. Largely, you go in by yourself. But Warner Brothers, I think because of Andrea, and I don't know if that's entirely true, but you know, you did everything together, and I really, really loved it. I mean, like, it brought out the little kid in me because I was playing, and you know, you It was like playing. I don't know how else to put it. It's like you've got your friends together, and all of a sudden you're with your G.I. Joes, and you're moving them around. And it's like, you know, and you're totally committed to the action that's happening with your G.I. Joe. And
it's amazing.
It's really
100%.
Fun. And it's genuinely fun. And I don't know how else to describe it. That was such a great way. No, thanks.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It's like I've met so many actors that have never done voiceover before, that have been on television, that have been in film, and you can tell that, you know, the on-camera side of the business can beat you down. Even if you're successful.
Yeah.
It can kind of beat you down, and they come in, and after one session, they look at you and they're like, "You do this every week?"
Yeah, every week.
Like,
this is really fun.
It's just fun, pure acting with you and a microphone, and you get to just have a great time. But you're right. One of the questions we ask everybody, and we don't even need to ask you, is do you prefer recording alone or with a group of people?
A group of people. But I will say, too, I also prefer doing voiceovers to being on camera. If it paid the same,
that's all I would ever do. That would be our next question.
Because if it paid, exactly. If you compare, like, Miss Congeniality 2, which I was very happy to be cast in, and everybody in it was great.
And you're great.
Really fun. Thank you. Fun to work with. But, you know, we would do a scene, you know, 60, 70 times. You know, and so, I mean, you would do your coverage, and you did at least like 15, 20 takes. So 60 is that's really, you could do it hundreds of times. Look, my dad sent me to work on a farm when I was a kid, so that I knew what real work was like. So I know that it's not real work. Don't get me wrong. I haven't completely...
Siegfried!
I haven't completely lost perspective. Hey, I just told you.
I love Siegfried so much.
Siegfried is... By the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is no dog. Frank Welker is just sitting on another microphone.
Oh,
in a cone, too.
Siegfried. He's been acting up.
Now,
I would be barking, too.
Yeah, he's complaining.
And now I have to ask. I have to ask, because every voiceover actor I've spoken to. Siegfried. Every voiceover actor I've spoken to that has a pet, does Siegfried have a voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Give me the Siegfried. Everybody does. Give me the Siegfried voice.
Siegfried voice is like this. He's got blends around with mud things. He's just a vague German that he talks like these things. I love to urinate out of doors. Does anyone like to do that? I do.
Every voiceover actor's pet has their own voice.
Oh, totally.
Every single one.
Yeah, our first dachshund was Chester A. Arthur.
And Chester talked like this. He was like, what's going on, everybody?
Oh my God, I never heard Will laugh like this before.
Oh, it's so funny.
Oh man, that's really
that
great.
Is so
this is Lithium 6. He talks like this. Hello, everyone. I also like to urinate out of doors.
You do?
Yes, I do.
He looks like that.
Yeah.
Yes, I do very much. No. He's a proper English chap, is he?
Sometimes I like to bark when I poop. As I'm pooping, I'm barking.
He does that when we go on a walk. He just starts barking when he's pooping. I'm like, dude, I got your back. Nothing's going to happen now.
Yeah. You're good.
You're good. You can just poop. Yeah.
Oh, my. All right. So voiceover-wise, I have a question for you. Because we went right from what we did. You did Zeta Project.
Yeah.
And then we got to do another one of my favorite projects, actually, from my career that doesn't get enough credit, isn't talked about enough. And frankly, one of the reasons is because of your performance. Siegfried.
He can't hear you, Will.
The Secret Saturdays.
Oh.
Do you remember how fun recording Secret Saturdays was? Now, for people who don't know, Dietrich did a character in Secret Saturdays that never really spoke an actual line of dialogue. We did one episode where you got to speak. But for the most part, he just did these... I've tried to mimic them many times and I just can't. Can you tell us how you came up with the character of Fiskerton on Secret Saturdays?
That's really interesting that you would bring up, because it actually called... it brings up your idea that you said earlier, where people make intellectual choices, and then other times things just appear to you wholesale. Fiskerton came to me entirely Like, they said it was like a giant cat gorilla. And I was like, wish I was there. You know? And then I was like, I just did it. And I was like,
I haven't heard that in years. I have not heard that in years.
And he was like, where did that come from?
Because
you
have to
do
like
the occasional word.
Yeah,
you get
a little
the
bit
occasional
in there.
Word.
Yeah, the only one where I got caught and they told me not to do it was. I was like, I didn't say a word.
Well, the thing that was amazing, it was because I remember the sessions. They were so great. And it was, you know, Phil Morris Phil's and Nicole great. Sullivan as the yeah, parents. Yeah. Sam Lerner, who played, I remember. Zach.
Yeah.
And
you.
Then you and Fred Tatasciore
yeah.
next to
mm-hmm.
each other. And he did two characters and you did a character and you would have full conversations and there was no dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
and it was the weirdest
written.
Thing.
Yeah.
No, it was just you did. And then you'd make the entire room. This is the thing I remember is whenever Fiskerton got sad, you'd do this. And the whole room would go, oh, like it would hit you in the gut. Yeah. It was like, oh no, not Fiskerton.
He was such a sweet guy. Yeah, I love playing Fiskerton. That was thank you for bringing that up. That was a genuinely fun job. Like that was just
that
like
was.
Playing. You know, like what we were alluding to earlier. Yeah, that was like, yeah, because I had no lines. I just was supposed to react to various things and they just kept my microphone open. And so it's just like, it was a completely improvised character, which is rare. And I really, that was really fun. That was a great, great, great fun.
I wonder why Dietrich wasn't on Kim Possible. He would have been an amazing asset.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Lame.
Yeah.
Lame.
Well, we'll get
that. Was
we'll
a great show, by
when...
the way. Great show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Christy and
thank
I
you.
Still get together on Zoom every night and just pretend to be Kim and Ron for a half hour before we go to sleep.
Smart.
Yeah,
it just makes
it.
Us feel better.
That's healthy.
Better.
Yeah, that's healthy.
Pretending.
We figure it's healthy.
We
it's
have
the way to go.
In the past.
Siegfried.
Siegfried.
Yes, you. Be quiet.
I'm in on it too now. I'm in on it too.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me. I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybun, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did we want to go back to how Dietrich actually started it all?
I
know
guess
we
should
start
we
that,
should get into or well
but
again
I'm actually really
it's
curious.
An 11-hour show, so yeah, we've got yeah, tons yeah. of time. Yeah. But yeah, Christy, can you maybe set us up for the origin story part?
I do. Well, you had said that you guys have similar origin stories, so is that true?
In the voiceover world, we had similar origin stories.
Oh, in terms of how you started with, like, Andrea and everything.
With Andrea,
right?
And with that kind of group of A-listers.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. And then we're Bat Brothers, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
How did you find? Let's just acting in general. How did you know you wanted to become an actor?
I actually have an origin story. Okay,
yes.
So when I was very little, about to turn three. We moved to Paris. It's the capital of France. And
got it.
Nailed it. And
it's also a town in Oklahoma, right. Isn't it? Just for the record.
So I was really like, I just learned English, basically. And then I was thrown into another language. And rather than thriving, I closed in on myself and became very quiet, very, very quiet. And my parents were worried that I was like, disturbed or something, like something was wrong with me because I was so quiet. And they wanted to break me on my shell, and so they would pay for my siblings to take me to the movies. And I fell in love with silent actors. Harpo Marx, Buster Keaton, but particularly Charlie Chaplin. And I became a little obsessed with him. And so I would go to Charlie Chaplin movies all the time. And the one day when I was about five, we were still there, and I went to go see a Charlie Chaplin movie in my favorite movie theater. By this point, I had worked on a Charlie Chaplin act in my room. It was my favorite theater because there was live musical accompaniment. There was so often when you see a silent movie in a theater, they'll play like a soundtrack that was pre-recorded, or sometimes just an organ player that had recorded, you know, something for it. But the live musical accompaniment is one of the greatest experiences, if you can possibly do it, to watch a silent movie. It's great because they improvise. And Fats Waller, this is the offshoot, but Fats Waller was supposed to be really particularly good at it. Anyway, we went to go see, I can't remember what, the, no, I was five. The film burned, got caught. Burned, and everybody booed, and the lights came up, and I thought to myself, nobody boos Charlie Chaplin. And I ran in between the screen and the audience, and I did my Charlie Chaplin act, and the organ player played the musical accompaniment for my little dance, which I was very happy about. And I did a roll at the end and doffed my pantomime hat. And I got a standing ovation. And that is the reason I'm an actor.
Wow.
That wins.
It's like, you know, I went on a field trip and got bitten by a spider and got superpowers.
I got found at a mall.
Boring compared to that.
Yeah,
no.
I actually have an origin story. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And what's crazy is.
That's amazing.
This is what's a little weird about it. I forgot that happened. And then I went to go see Chaplin with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And when he is 5 years old, his mother is a vaudeville performer and has a nervous breakdown on stage. And the audience starts booing her. And he thinks to himself, nobody boos my mother. And he jumps up and does a pantomime act. And that was the first time he did a pantomime act. And my memory came back, and I was sitting in the theater, and
wow.
I was like, oh my God.
Breakthrough. Then,
yeah, like it was really intense.
So you were Proust. Proust just took a bite of the Madeleines,
yeah, right, exactly.
And the whole everything
that
came back
right in there, and it was like, yeah, it was
wow.
really intense.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So now, how do you go from being a mime to being a voice box?
Well, you got
to
walk against the wind
first.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I think that I just wanted to do whatever it took. My attitude has always been just that I want to work. I just want to work. I never wanted to be a star. I never wanted to be anything other than a working actor. So to
sure.
me, it's just as exciting for me to get a voiceover part than it is to get a movie or a TV show. I just love it. I love it. I've never loved anything as much. It literally is the greatest thing that you can do standing up. It's really, really fun. And I recommend it to everyone. Express yourself. Go for it. I love what you're doing and reaching out and trying to find other people to do it. I wish everybody was an artist. It'd be great. We'd probably eat a lot less because there wouldn't be much food. But I just wish everybody could.
But there'd
do
be
it.
A lot of waiters.
There would be a lot.
There would
of
be
waiters.
A lot of waiters. Exactly. Just nobody buying the
yeah,
food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
wow.
I mean,
that's amazing.
I know it's a tough career, and but I think it's a beautiful thing to create art and to express yourself and just realize what you have. I mean, not to trigger your unconscious, like creating a Fiskerton in that way, and discover something about yourself that you like. Where did that come from? I don't know. I mean, I don't know where I just like came out, and I was like, oh, look at that. Greg tells a story about Beast Boy. That was his first audition, and the voice just came out as it was, and as it's he's played for how many years now? It's like 20 years.
Yeah, seriously. He just walked in. He was like, dude, I was just, yeah, you know, I was gonna be on, you know, I was gonna play,
and he
you
just
know,
did
was
it
on a band, and yeah,
and so
and Beast Boy,
he,
yeah,
yeah, and he discovered you. That was a perfect impression, by the way. And he just discovered he just discovered that, and it just happened. It's like you find something within yourself, like an island that you didn't know was there, and you go get on
like
there and
Othello.
You're like, oh, look at that, like Othello, bringing it all back.
Yeah.
Siegfried. No, he didn't say anything. But so.
No, it's okay. So we do have to get in a little bit of this because we have both worn the cowl.
Yeah.
What was it like to get cast as Batman in Brave and the Bold, which is, you know, it got some of the acclaim it deserved when it was on the air, and diehard fans are still diehard fans, but it's now getting more acclaim because people are seeing it for what it was, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
So what was it like to get cast? Because I don't know if you remember, but you and I both found out we were on that show like basically on the same day,
yeah,
and it was a day we were recording Secret Saturdays.
That's right.
So we looked at each other, and I was like, I was excited about something, and you're excited about something, but you're not allowed to tell anybody what it is yet.
Yeah,
and then we start talking, and it's like, we're excited about the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, were you, you know, again, what was it like auditioning and then finding out that you were going to be the next Batman?
So auditioning, that's when I met James Tucker for the first time. Andrea and I had already done a show together. And auditioning, you know, I just came in with a bad impression of Kevin. Like a really bad impression of Kevin.
It was so good, though. It was so good.
And I was like, this is how I do Batman, because I sound like Kevin. And when I heard myself back, I was like, I don't sound like Kevin at all. I guess I got my own thing. But I thought I was doing Kevin. But anyway, so I didn't quite get the tone of the show immediately. And I didn't know why they wanted somebody that largely does comedy, like yourself, to do Batman, because Batman is like, you know, how much revenge are we talking about? A lot. A
right.
lot of revenge.
Yeah. Lots of revenge.
Lots.
That's the entire premise of the show.
He's literally exactly. never going to get over it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
so I didn't know if it was going to work. I was like mystified that why I was cast, but I was ecstatic because it is, yeah, without exaggeration, the best part. It's just the best part. You know, one of the things that is great about acting is when you start to think like somebody else, where you actually become someone else. And my acting teacher that was my mentor, he said it's a breaking through.
He said it like this. He would go, it's breaking through. Once you realize it's no longer you, it is someone else in your head.
I was like, yeah, that's... He wasn't Russian, by the way. He was just like a guy. But this is how he spoke.
I was wondering where he was from.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, Batman is the greatest in that way, because that backstory, the revenge that I was making fun of, is him recovering from a traumatic incident over and over and over again, which is what most people that have really gone through trauma have to do. It's a beautiful story. And I'll still never forget the day when we were recording in the chill of the night when a Batman met Joe Chill, who killed his parents. And, you know, we were recording it in that semicircle. And I'm talking to the killer of my parents, and I just started crying. And I realized, oh my God, I've broken through. I'm now Bruce Wayne.
I've done it.
I'm Bruce Wayne. I've done it. I feel this. I really feel this. And
Batman, and you're a billionaire, so bonus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and and I can make like all kinds of things. But anyway, no, the acting world is just a fascinating thing because it's like to tap into that kind of trauma just for a brief period of time. I mean, this is why, not to bring up politics for too long, but I saw an interesting question on Twitter where they asked why so many people in show business are Democrats. And I think it's because of empathy. I think it's because we can look at somebody else's story and go, oh, I see where you're coming from.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only politics I'm going to bring up in the whole thing. But I think that's what it is. Because you have to. In order to tell somebody's character's story well, you have to figure out why they're doing what they're doing. I mean, you can't just play a bad guy. And you can't just do a funny voice of, you know, that I'm evil. You have to, why is this guy doing it? You know, as they say, everybody's a hero in their own story. You know, my son, Sebastian, when we were watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original.
Which one? Which version?
The original animated version.
Okay.
So he goes, Dad, a Shredder. And I go, yeah, Shredder's the bad guy. And he goes, no, Dada. Shredder is the other sensei. And I was like, whoa. That's whoa. Oh.
Yeah.
Shredder wants what he wants. And he also is he is an example for everyone to learn from. What can you learn from Shredder if you're a mutant ninja turtle? He's your other sensei. And it's like that's like the way to think about it. And every time subsequently that I have played a bad guy, I've always tried to think like, what does this guy really want? I think I can say it now. Yes, I can say it now. I'm the new Transformers bad guy, and
which is
a great part, and it's very straight. Like there are no jokes anywhere in it, like even remotely. Wow.
Welcome to the world of Transformers, really, my friend. We're really brothers cool. Yet again.
I know, man. It's really cool. I'm totally excited about it. I'm really.
Can you
see
say the character
figure.
Name yet or no?
I'm not allowed
which,
yet.
Is this an animated?
Okay.
It's animated or it's
animated.
On screen?
Animated.
Okay. I can't keep.
We won't say the name yet, but that is really.
Yeah, no, it's
amazing.
Really cool. There's going to be an action figure, which of course I totally love. But anyway, it's like, what does this guy want, and why does he want it, and you know, when is. Like, and you know, talking to the writers about it and really like, let's get into it. Let's talk about it. Why is he doing this? And I love it. It's beautiful.
It's so interesting that you said that, because I was watching something the other day. I think it was actually Inside the NFL or something along those lines, where they were interviewing one of the football players whose brother has been in prison for most of his life.
Well.
And they said, what do you think of your brother? And he said, he's my role model. And they said, how can your role model be somebody who's been in prison your whole life? And he said, a role model can still teach you what not to be.
That's really good.
And it was that really interesting thing about he's taught me the life I need to have because he's taught me the life I shouldn't have.
Wow,
and it's that same kind of thing you're talking about where, with the Shredder, where it's like, you do. It's the two halves of the coin. Oh, my God, we can get philosophical about the whole thing.
Yeah,
Oh, my gosh, guys. This has been a nice, deep episode.
This has been a great episode of I Hear Voices. I'm sorry that we have to wrap it up, but we do. At least for part one of the 11-part series that we're doing.
Yeah.
And now, Rocky Road versus... Cookies and cream.
That's right. I know. I wondered.
I wonder when we're going to get to the meat.
Yeah.
When I get to the meat. No. So before we wrap up here, so other than Transformers, is there anything else you have coming out that you want to talk about? And also, social-wise, where can people find you?
My Twitter, I think, I can't remember what it is. But I'm on the Twitter.
Of course not.
And then I'm also on the Insta. But... You know, my Insta.
You're
gonna have to accept the fact that it's just flowers. It's just flowers
in
my garden.
But that's amazing.
I'm not very cute, so I don't post pictures of myself. So it's flowers, and I just hope that it
brings
people
flowers
peace.
Flowers are cute.
Yeah, flowers are cute. I think it brings, you can meditate on a flower for a long period of time. But anyway, I
oh, you're, yeah, by place. The way, you are at, just for the record, Bader, you are at Bader underscore Dietrich on Dietrich. Twitter.
Oh, underscore. Yes. What is underscore?
There's also a John Dietrich.
There's like a line,
Ryan,
you know,
Dietrich.
There's like your name and then a line and then your last name.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
that's
cool.
Underscore.
Underscore, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was just randomly assigned that thing and I didn't know, like what I was supposed to do. Like I didn't know you could do like the numbers or whatever. But I mean, you know, yeah. I don't know how many people, how many Dietrich Baders there are. That would be weird. But anyway, so yeah, no, please. But I don't know what else I can plug because I
there's a bunch though, right?
Yeah, there's stuff coming in, but they like to, as you know, they like to roll it out on their own time frame, and then they're like,
of course,
why aren't you publicizing it? I'm like, dude,
Yeah, you told me not. I literally don't know my Twitter handle.
Just
what do you want from me?
Just give me a green light. That's all you need to do. Man. So, but yeah, no, I got other things going on. But you know, I've been, I'm just getting back into doing on-camera stuff next month because my son left for college. And I was totally like Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, dude, and realized that
I know you were.
American Housewife got canceled at just the right moment for my family.
That's
because
good.
I was able to spend time with my kid in a real and sustained way, and it was really beautiful and a great opportunity for me. And then when on-camera stuff came up, they were like, "Do you want to do a show in London?" And I was like, no, I don't.
Wow.
I don't want to do that. I have been very, very blessed that I don't have to. And as long as I keep my hours up as far as SAG is concerned and we can get our insurance.
Exactly, right.
Which is part of it. Let's face it. We have to.
Sure, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Because residuals don't count towards residuals anymore. I'm sorry, towards our insurance anymore. So I have to keep working. Well, but I'm like...
Streaming
I'm like,
doesn't even...
Oh, come on. As you know,
it really?
It's like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You have to put it's in those problem. That time. So you have to keep working. But I'm very happily just doing the voiceover stuff for a while because I can pop out and pop back in and then, you know, and still be with my kids. His first day, official day of college is today. And
he's going to do great.
Yeah. So anyway, I was in his bedroom smelling his pillow earlier today. So I'm like not doing
that's
great.
That's not creepy at all. That's not creepy at all,
that's
Dietrich.
I'm not doing great about it.
You're doing okay.
You're doing great. You raised him right. Now he's going to the next chapter of his life. You did it exactly right. You're going to be depressed as hell, but he's going to have a blast.
I know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
I have a 5 and a 3-year-old.
Oh,
so,
you get it.
Yeah,
you
this
get,
is
wait,
my future.
Just wait. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know,
I
it's
was
the
smart
oldest
enough
cliche.
Not to have
yeah,
kids.
smart. yeah, it doesn't. It's interesting because it's like how much joy does it bring you as opposed to how much pain? But it is. It's like it is a whole.
It's a worthy journey.
It's a worthy journey.
Nothing worthwhile is easy. They
you know,
say
yep,
nothing worthwhile
absolutely.
Is easy.
And I will
and
say,
you know,
Christy,
Will, you say you don't. Yes, please. Please, Dietrich.
It's the biggest cliche in the world, but really, carpe diem. It does go by faster than you think, and everybody says that, and it's incredibly true. Like, I mean, you know, the same day that my son started college, I had to drop my daughter off at her last year of high school, and you know, she looked over, and I was like.
You're like, I can't deal with this shit.
And she just held my hand. God. She was very sweet. She's a girl, so she was very sweet about it. She just held my hand.
You also have two of the nicest, most talented kids around. You, so you know they're going to be fine.
I think you need to like go take Dietrich out for ice cream later.
A little bit of ice cream.
Seriously,
well, then we'll talk about the flavors. Finally get to that conversation.
I was going to say, there's nothing like sitting at a nice ice cream shop as he's weeping horribly into his fudge sundae in front of him.
You should be there for him.
Yeah. Just looking around going, he's okay. Don't worry, please.
He's
okay.
Gonna
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He's going to be all right.
It's all right, everybody.
Siegfried. No.
Well, sorry, I didn't actually mean it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, this was
now,
so much fun. What a great idea for a show, and
you know,
I really enjoyed it.
Well, hopefully Will you come back and mentor maybe one of our young actors who is going to try to win this contest?
Oh,
come
yeah.
back and
I would totally do
you
that.
Know, do a couple sessions we'll where sesh. They can learn from the best and figure
Dude,
out what they want in their life, and that would be really, really cool.
I would 100% do that. I would love to do
that.
That's
wow, Dietrich. That's huge.
That is
thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then just to make sure you're qualified to do it, can you say super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor for us?
Wait, say it one more time then.
That's super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
Super awesome contest to become the next voiceover actor. I almost slipped into
Yay!
Batman for that.
You did almost.
A
little
bit. I was like skirting Batman.
You Batman did. You also added voice over where it's just voice actor.
Voice
so
actor.
You're
yeah,
not going to get the role.
I know.
So
no. I told you, I haven't had to memorize anything in a while.
Oh, Dietrich, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for including
have
us.
A great
I don't
day.
Need what to say.
Thanks, Christy.
You
take a
best.
Warm bath, Dietrich.
Yes, you're going to be fine.
Light
take
a
some
candle.
Pictures of some flowers, and you're going to be good, my friend, I promise.
Thanks for including me.
You should
me.
Be
it was really
so
fun.
Proud of your kids.
I am,
they
man.
Are
I am.
Remarkable human beings that are going to do
they
amazing
be proud
things
of
on
you.
This planet.
Oh, well, please. yeah. Don't go that far. But thank you, guys. Thanks for including me.
Thank you, too. Hi to your family, and let's talk soon.
Okay, my friend.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Dietrich. Wow.
Wow.
That's so awesome.
Oh, everybody, that is the kind of thing you need to... I'm going to be totally honest with you. I wake up some days with this business that is changing, that I don't know what I want to do, that I'm not sure that I have the same love for it that I do. And then you talk to somebody like Dietrich who just finds the joy in everything. And it turns your whole day around. That's the kind of guy he is, and that's that kind of conversation that you want to have. And if you are feeling down about yourself, you're not going to make it in this business, you're not going to make it in life, you're not going to – man, listen to somebody like that because he does kind of make the sunshine on a cloudy day, doesn't he? Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. I was really – my mind was blown several times during this episode. I think he is a joy, and I think he's very inspirational. And you don't think
really
like,
is.
Oh, voice actor, you know – perspective. They just do funny voices, but everyone that we've interviewed has had such an amazing like origin story and, you know, yeah. love of their craft and just sheer camaraderie with us that, you know, they may know you will sometimes like Sean Jimbrone.
They know you.
Me.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
It's like a shared love that we all have for the yeah. same thing. And all of you listening at home, like, we love you too, and we're excited to continue to engage with you as a community of I Hear Voices fans. And, you know, we hope you enjoyed today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And as we're leaving, you know, we've been publicizing it quite a bit that we are going to be doing the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor. We're obviously getting all of our ducks in a row, but we're thinking it's going to be sometime October, November. But hit us up if you want to know more about the contest and everywhere. You know, all the questions that you have are questions that hopefully we're going to be able to answer very, very soon. So, Christy, where can everybody reach us?
So we're on TikTok and Instagram. TikTok is I Hear Voices Podcast, and we're really trying to grow that. And we do lots of fun little cut downs and things there. So go ahead and go find us and start to make us a part of your scrolling habit.
Yeah, and let us know if you like what you're hearing, if you want to change what you're hearing, if there's certain things that we're not addressing that you think we should be, and also what you're looking forward to in the... Christy, why don't you say the name of the contest?
Oh, no. Why are you making me do this again? We did this last week.
Come
and
on,
I
roll it out.
Miserably.
Let's finish
Super
it out.
Super amazing contest
nope.
to become the world's next voiceover actor.
Uh-uh. Nope.
No.
Not right.
Super awesome.
There you go.
No? Super awesome.
Yeah, no, that's right.
The super awesome contest?
Yep.
To become the world's next voiceover? No?
Oh,
okay.
I love it so much.
Oh, no, I know it. The super awesome contest to become the next big voiceover actor.
Yes, yes, that was close
it!
Enough. We just have voice
no,
actor, but that's close
it.
Enough.
I
no,
said,
you're
okay.
We're close.
Next
by the
time.
End, by for the record and for everybody out there listening, I literally have it written next to me and I have to look down at it every single
and
time.
And I kind of just like winging it, to be honest.
I love it too. It's my favorite thing ever. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you think you got what it takes to stand behind the microphone, then come and put your voices where your mouth is. Thanks, everybody. I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Executive produced by Will Friedle, Brendan Rooney, Amy Sugarman, and Vicky Ernst Chang. Our executive in charge of production is Danielle Romo. Our producer is Lorraine Virouez, and our editor/engineer is Brian Burton. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Coco Melon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AAM, and Napster.
Okay, well, let's teach you about the internet.
The who?
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.